Thanks for joining us on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. This is Raza Siddiqui, joined by Teal, Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman. Thanks for joining us on another Against the Grain. Teal, we got a lot to talk about this week. I know in specific you wanted to talk about what's happening in Del Rio out in Texas. Tell us what came into your mind when you first saw those images.
Yeah, first and foremost, I want to thank God for allowing me to be here today with my co-host, Mr. Raza Siddiqui, on 820 AM WCPT Progressive Radio here, 820 AM. And you can call in and talk to us today at 773-763-9278. That's 773-763-9278. And yes, I'm kind of glad that we're talking a little bit about what happened down there on the border, you know, because with the images that I saw, and I've had people going back and forth with me on social media saying, sure, well, the guys that were on horseback, they didn't have whips. They had reins, whatever they call them, R-E-I-N-S, reins, where they kind of corral the horses with them, keep the horses in check or whatever.
Now, I don't know too much about any of this, but they sound pretty similar to me. Those sound like they have the same effect.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. But at the same time, I just think it was a bad decision by the guys that were on the horses. Whoever, I think they were state employees or whatever. What were they like?
I think they might be federal Border Patrol.
Federal Border Patrol, whatever the case may be. But it just took me back to, it looked like some type of slave cowboy picture, or some cowboy Indian picture or something. But, you know, it didn't look right at all. I don't, you know, people had their views. I think the people could have used a little bit better discretion in regards to the way they treated the people there, because, you know, everybody wants to come to America. Let's just be honest. I've never seen any pictures with other ethnic groups being hit with those little whip-like, you know, whatever they want to call them. I've never seen that happen before to anybody else. So why is it happening to people from Haiti? And the country's wide open. You know, we allow a lot of people to come into the country. I used to be kind of a stickler for really abiding by the law, but I've noticed over the last, let's say, 5 or 6 years, everybody, a lot of politicians are playing with the laws anyway, with immigration laws. Mm. They're allowing some people to be more favoritism to come over compared to other people. They're more stringent with the laws with other ethnic groups. Right is right, wrong is wrong. It shouldn't be good for one group and not good for the other group of people. So it took me back, by me being African-American, it took me back to like some type of close to like slavery type of pictures in my mind as they were trying to like whip the people down. And people walking out of the water with their babies and stuff. And, you know, babies were terrified, you know, and the men were, didn't know what, the men didn't want to do nothing crazy, because if they would have done something, you know, outrageous or something crazy to one of the federal, you know, Border Patrol agents, then I don't know how many thousand people were in the water. I mean, they said they had to walk through 5 countries to get to the United States. And don't get me wrong, I know the pros and cons. Don't come over here unless you come legally, but a lot of people coming over illegally. And that's all I'm trying to say. That's the point I'm trying to make. And it doesn't make it right, but people are not abiding by the law. And that's the problem with the leadership, because they're playing politics with immigration right now.
Well, and it's hard, like you said, to see those pictures of little children with their mothers and fathers crossing over. And you wonder how bad their situation must have been, their circumstances must have been to take on that unknown, have the children with you, not know if they're going to get sick in this process, but still make the journey over here. And it really does make me at least wonder, as a journalist, what the story is, what kind of a situation they're leaving behind. But then to be greeted when they finally are able to make it here, like you said, with men on horses. We invite you to join in on this conversation as well. 773-763-9278. 773-763-9278. We already have a couple callers calling on the line. I'll let you decide who you want to go to first.
Well, let's bring Jimmy Carver. Then we'll get to Roosevelt after Jim. How you doing today, hey, Mr. Jim?
Good. We got all the group back together again today.
Yes, anyway, indeed.
We're all back.
Just had to take one break once a month, Brother Jim, because, you know, I'm only human myself.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I'm calling from a remote location. I'm up at Kingery Grove at a place called Gobert's. It's a big pumpkin farm. They got camel rides, pony rides.
That's good.
Like Kitty Land used to have. So the place is well stocked with a lot of people having fun with their kids and strollers. But anyway,
you know, Jim, I must admit, you're always somewhere in a remote location.
Well, that's right. But see, this show is so important, I have to call in.
Okay, I appreciate you.
Anyway, but anyways, none of this stuff with immigration would have occurred if Trump hadn't been cheated out of the election, or if Biden would have simply left in the policies that he had. You know, even Chris Wallace recently was saying, we have to build the wall. You know, Trump, everything under control. Under Biden, all these socialists, of course, is the opposite. But I also wanted to call in and say that Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, he's been doing some wonderful undercover exposés of a lot of the reactions from the vaccine and things that are not being reported to the public. In fact, a lot of the information is being squashed. So what he's done, he has people working in these places, and people are getting upset by what's going on. So they're becoming undercover investigative reporters, essentially, and they're taping a lot of the false things that are going on or underreporting or whatever. And he had two good videos this last week. He's got some more coming out this week. He said it's going to be pretty dynamic, so I encourage people to follow Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, because he's doing what the mainstream media should be doing in terms of looking at things and trying to find out what the truth is versus the government that's always lying to us.
Okay, understood, Jim, understood. It's a lot going on, but what are your views, though, of the Haitian people being whipped, so to speak?
Well, first of all,
the guys on horseback.
Well, first of all, those weren't whips.
Right, they were what they call them, reins, right?
Exactly, and they weren't whipping those people. They're trying to grab them. But see, why don't they, first of all, how about the people that are coming over without our permission? You know, the reason why they're in a position is because they're coming in without permission.
And so you say those devices were not whipped, Jim? They were not whipped.
No.
They were.
And they weren't whipping them either.
So you're saying they were just trying to catch the people.
Well, that's
what you're saying.
They control their horses. But on the other hand, my point is, you know, none of these people are being tested. They're vaccinated anything as well. Mm. So there's always concern about the vaccine and the COVID. These people aren't being tested. So this should tell you something else about how insincere this whole argument is.
Yes, yeah, so definitely. Well, that's one thing I do concur with Jim on, Raza.
Yeah.
It's not a real sincere conversation when it comes to politics, because a lot of politicians are playing political football with the immigration issue. Because some people,
right,
Jim,
yeah,
are favored to come over. Some people are not. But the only problem I have with it, Jim, the optics appeared as if they were whipping the people, okay? That's the biggest issue I have with it.
Okay, so those horseback enforcers have been around for a long time.
Okay, not familiar. It just took me back in time a little bit, that's all. And I understand. I don't know what position the people are in now. So the people now are like in a holding space now, am I right?
Well, they've all been distributed within the country.
Oh, they have?
Yep, there was a lady on a different radio show talking about it. They were having some sort of rally today at 2:30.
Yeah, down to Federal Plaza. I'm familiar with that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, my brother.
Came in with no clothing and, you know, things like this and no shoes and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they'll all be distributed around. But, again, you know, the hypocrisy of Biden insisting everybody takes the jab, but yet, you know, these people aren't being tested and all these people are being dumped all over the place. Full of all sorts of diseases, not just COVID.
Yeah, it's rough. That's an issue without a doubt. We have to be very careful. I just think that once they start opening up for people to come to the United States illegally, that opened the door for everybody. That's the bottom line, Jim. And I've seen where, you know, politicians continue to just fumble the ball with this immigration. No one wants to really speak about it. See, my thing is, we live in a land of laws. Let me slow that down. We live in a land of laws, and right now we're not really abiding by our own laws here when it comes to the immigration issue. So that's why I don't even knock people anymore. If you come over, you just come over. There's nothing I can do about it anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's right, Jim, all the time, but if the people not put, you know, if they're not abiding, adhering to what they put in on policy, I mean, what else can we do?
Well, this is why you don't vote Democrat.
I hear you. Because I remember, Raza, when Trump was in office, you had some people that marched from, I think it was Guatemala, all the way through to Mexico on the border as well. They were like this big caravan of people, man, caravan.
Big caravan. I remember that.
Well, you see what Trump did. He went to those countries, Honduras and Guatemala. He said, listen, we're giving you guys $500,000 a year, and so we're going to cut off the gravy train if you quit sending people. Guess what? They quit.
You haven't heard nothing else about it.
I'm sorry?
I haven't heard anything else about it. You might have a point there. I think
people should watch Trump's speeches himself, because when you watch the speeches, he talks exactly about all the things he did. The problem is the press doesn't give Trump any kind of credit at all.
Now, I think Trump, you know, he made a mistake, in my opinion, Jim. I'm not against Trump as a human being. I want to make that clear. I always say that. But the thing is this. I think Trump just was kind of narcissistic, you know, on a higher level all the time. He was like on the news every day of the week. Sometimes you got to pull back a little bit and just do some self-reflection. I don't think Trump ever did any self-reflection, Jim.
Well, you know what, though? A lot of what we saw in the press was the people lying about Trump. And what Trump had to do was get out there and counteract all the garbage, like the Russian collusion, for example. How long did that go on?
A long time, you know, long time.
That's right. And if you listen to people like Danny Bongino, he'll tell you, and he's detailing all the lies and the corruption that went on in our government to spy on Trump.
Okay.
Before he's a president, after he's president.
Okay, my brother. Well, I thank you, Brother Jim, for your point of view here.
Jim, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Again, you can also join in on the conversation, 773-763-9278. We got Roosevelt, who's been waiting for a while. Yeah. Roosevelt, you're on with TU, Mr. Ceasefire Hardeman, and Raza.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Oh my God. Everything this guy said is not being challenged. I don't understand why you guys don't challenge this guy. He just talks and talks and talks, and none of it is true. And I'll prove it like this. He talks that that's why Trump's way of handling the border should have been kept up, right? Do you remember a gentleman that died at the border, face down, drowned with his little young daughter?
Yes, indeed. Right? Yes,
that was Trump. That was Trump's fault, okay? Do you remember a 15-year-old dying while under custody? He had a fever. He wasn't treated. Nobody helped him.
Yeah, I can recall. I recall that, Roosevelt. I recall it all the way.
Oh, so whose fault was it? Biden's? We're going to lay it on Biden?
No, no, not at all.
Okay, now here, Teal and Raza. Okay, now here's the thing. When it comes down to the border, the worst thing that Trump did was handling the way he did. And I'll tell you why. This guy, Jim, and Mitchell talk and talk, and they always talk about how bad it is voting Democratic. Well, he voted Republican, and so did Mitchell, a guy that caused 400,000 people to die because he knew how bad this pandemic was. He voted for people that were put in cells and cages like animals, okay? So the way he handled the border, the way he handled the virus, was the worst thing that any president has done. Close to 650,000 people died in this country. We're number one. We're number one.
Okay.
Okay. Now, as far as the border, I'm not going to try to make it too long, guys. As far as the border, we have to assume responsibility. Do you guys remember, I know you guys are younger than me, do you guys remember Iran-Contra?
Yes, indeed.
So, Tio, those people that came from Central America, that is precisely why we interfered and we planted, just like you plant a plant, we planted dictators that killed those people, those poor people, because they, the dictators, took over the land.
No doubt.
And the violence in those countries, it's our responsibility for what we did in the mid-80s. Back to Reagan. When it comes down, speaking of Reagan, when it comes down to building a wall, what did Reagan say? Tear down this wall. So Trump did the opposite. He wanted a wall. And they're always talking about Reagan, how he forced communist Russia to tear down the wall. Well, these guys wanted to put up a wall. The guy he just talked to said, that's what we need, a wall. No, we don't need a wall. So all these things that are happening to you, we are responsible, including Haiti. Now, let me finish it with this. Those reins that those cowboys use are made of treated leather. I just looked it up.
Okay.
Some of those reins are 8 feet long.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
So how would Jim like to get hit by one of those reins?
For real.
They may not be whipped. They may not be whips, but they can be used with whips. Yeah. I don't know if you're old enough. You remember when our parents used to hit us with our belts?
Yeah, extension cords.
No, forget about extension cords.
That's right.
Let's go with the belts. They're made out of leather, just like those cowboys' reins. They leave welts. They leave marks. And worst of it, it hurts like heck.
That's right. And then, Roosevelt, when you call in, we have guys like you to challenge Jim. Don't worry about it. So don't worry about us not challenging Jim. You know, we don't agree with everything. We don't agree with everything anyone has to say all the time. You know how it goes.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Teal. He talks and talks, and he doesn't have nothing to support it but people from Fox News, like the guy he mentioned. I don't know the guy's name. Mm-hmm. But the guy he mentioned is nobody concrete. He never talks about the CDC. He never talks about Fauci. About the vaccine, he talks about off the wall people that you never heard of, only on Fox News. That's my point, Teal.
Well, help me out, Roosevelt. Let me ask you a quick question. How should the federal rangers, how should they have handled that situation with the Haitian immigrants, you know, crossing the border there? How should they have handled that? Even though they were on horseback, what do you think would have been best practice?
Get off the damn horse first and treat them like people.
There you go. There you
go. Treat them like people. Round them up, not like cows or cattle or...
Exactly.
Or you know, treat them like people.
That's right.
Can you, if you're on horseback, how, you know, you could see that those guys, you know, were basically had experience in wrestling cows.
That's right. You know they could, yeah. You could see that, obviously, right?
Obviously.
Yeah.
And it reminded me, and I'm glad that you said that, Theo. It reminded me of the old days, the way they used to round up the slaves.
Yes,
yes. That's what came to my mind. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Yep, that's what came to my mind immediately. So that was kind of tough. Then plus, Roosevelt, everybody wants to come to America. So, I mean, what's good for one ethnic group should be good for the next one. I mean, I don't understand it.
See, Teal, everybody wants to come to America because we're compassionate. We were before Trump got in there. Remember what he said? Why are we letting all these people from S countries come in here? We wanted blue-eyed and blonde people from the Scandinavian countries.
Yeah, I remember Trump making that statement. Yeah, I can't mention what he said. You're right, the S-hole countries. Hey, Trump,
that's right.
Trump had no filters.
Exactly.
That's why he got, yeah, I'm leaving that alone. That's the, no filters with Trump. I appreciate you, Roosevelt.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
My man. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good conversation, Brother Raza.
Absolutely. And we got Mark, who's been waiting a while. Mark from St. Louis.
Yeah, Brother Mark from St. Louis, Missouri, the show me state.
Yeah. How you guys doing?
Show me here, Brother Mark, what should have happened to them Haitian immigrants on the border. Show me. Tell me something.
First of all, those border agents should have never been on those horses, man. You could tell that they was trying to steer those Haitians like they were cattle or something, man. That
right.
was despicable. You know, you could tell they was, well, they never hit them, but yeah, they was using those horses basically as a weapon. You know how that's how they get those, the cows and go to one direction. They move those horses around so they can steer. That's the, what they was trying to do, those stations.
Wow.
Steer them in one direction.
Okay.
Like they was some animals, man.
Yes,
you know?
Indeed.
So that's horrible. But you should have asked Jim, do he believe in the Arizona audit recount that they did? Yeah, you know, I noticed he didn't mention that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He's still promoting what Donald Trump said. Arizona. Now, this makes it the third time Joe Biden has won Arizona, okay? The third time, okay?
That's right. That's right.
And the Republicans got somebody they specially handpicked to do the count. And these morons still say that the election results, that the election results were fraudulent, that the election was stolen from Donald Trump. And he was in Georgia last night, still promoting this nonsense.
Yeah, still
now
promoting
he's
going, it, right.
Now he's targeting targeting Texas for a recount. And you know, it's one thing I found in common that these the recounts have. They all targeting the black areas, majority black areas, where the votes come out of, you know, like Harris County, Texas, where it's mostly black people that live. You know, just look at it. It's a pattern here, man. So he basically said all the black voters are nothing but cheaters, okay?
Yeah. And you know, here in Illinois, Mark and Raza, they have a law in the books called the sore losers law, right? Hmm. Which means if you lose in the general election, you cannot, or in the primary, whatever, you cannot run as an independent. It's a sore losers law. And the reason I'm bringing it up because it appears that Trump is a sore loser. And he's,
yes,
I mean, come on, when is he going to just let it go? I mean, if he's going to run again in a couple more years or whatever, just run. But why continue to just spend all this money and all this, try to get all this, garner all this attention? And you already lost the election, man. Let it go.
Right. $6 million. $6 million. That's what the Arizona spent for that recount. Now, this is the third time now. Third time.
Right.
This guy, and he's still saying it's big, that there was fraudulent votes.
Yeah.
Do you know, if you got any common sense, do you know how many people it would take to have to do that? You would need hundreds of people in each state to do that. And you know, loose lips sink ships, man. Somebody would have bound and said something by now. So that's why you can't even pay no attention to these people, man. They're
you know,
nuts.
There's old school singer Teddy Pendergrass. He's no longer with us. He had the record, "I Think I Better Let It Go."
Right.
Looks like another love TKO.
You're right. How about this one? How about this one from Heaven in the Blue Notes? The whole world's laughing at me.
I was just about to say that one. That's right, brother. That's right. Yeah. I say that, Brother Miles. I know you from St. Louis. We love that good soul music. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly, man. So, Yeah, it's just crazy that all let these people just spew all this nonsense. It's like Jim comes on here with all these false claims about ivermectin and hydrochloroquine. You notice he never takes none of this stuff. He always say he knows somebody. If it works, why don't you take it?
Yeah, take care of the business. That's right. That's right. So now, Mark,
you asked him one day, Jim, do you ever take any of your stuff? No, but I know someone who took it.
Yeah.
Right there, you know?
And before you get out of here, Brother Mark, quickly, because we do have a couple more callers waiting, let me ask you, St. Louis, Missouri, how are things looking as far as the homicide rate now? Because I know St. Louis is within the top 10 for homicides throughout the United States. So how is St. Louis? Is it getting a little bit better?
The murder rate here is going through the roof, man. It's every night.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just sickening, man. We had, I can at least say we had 10 murders last week.
Wow.
10, okay?
That's something else there.
Young people doing this stuff, man. Young people.
Okay, Mark.
And when did it become fashionable to start killing women and kids, man? You know, back in the days, the old days, you wouldn't touch women and children. Now it's like they don't even care no more. They kill women and children just as quick.
Yeah, people don't care. We just had a shooting at Cook County Hospital over the weekend. The guy was shot. They brought him to Cook County Hospital. He died. He expired. And the guy shot and almost shot a paramedic working on the guy. Right at the hospital, brother, here, Mark, in Chicago. I wish you the best there in St. Louis, my brother.
Okay.
And I really appreciate you calling the show for Raza Siddiqui and T.O. Hardiman here.
Always, man. Have a good weekend.
Okay, brother.
All right. Well, T.O., we got a commercial break we got to hit, and then we will come back with more of the callers. You can call us in 773-763-9278. Talk to you after this.
Good stuff.
Megan Financial is an independent retirement and financial services firm dedicated to the working men and women of organized labor. Megan provides straightforward, custom-fit financial advice and specializes in defined benefit and defined contribution pension plans, as well as participant and retiree health and welfare benefits. Megan Financial has the knowledge and experience to navigate the union member through all phases of life. Call 708-444-1090.
Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, a broker-dealer and registered investment advisor. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity. Office location at 5321 South 94th Avenue, Orland Park, Illinois, 60462.
33 Realty is a fully integrated real estate services firm specializing in investment brokerage, property management, leasing, distressed real estate services, and construction services via its sister company, Cubed Construction, for a variety of asset classes across the multifamily and commercial real estate sectors. 33 Realty provides full-service solutions to complex real estate assignments with industry-leading staff invested in the process. For more information, please visit 33realty.com. 33 Realty, your foundation for real estate success.
You're on Against the Grain with you, Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman and Raza Siddiqui. We're talking about a variety of topics today. We're talking about the crisis along the border, and we've had some strong opinions on that. But we're also talking about the violence ongoing, not only in Chicago. We're talking with one of our callers about what's happening in St. Louis and other Midwestern cities. We got a couple other callers. We have Al, who's waiting to talk to us about the border issue. Al, you're on with Tio and Raza.
Hey, T.O., thank you for having me on.
Okay, Brother Al.
Yeah, I just had my question is, this is about failed Joe Biden immigration policies. You allow 1 million immigrants, illegal immigrants, to flow across the border in 8 months. All, I guess they said, for cheap labor, Chuck Schumer said the other day. And this is a result of him opening the borders and letting all this stuff everybody come in. This is what attracted all our Haitian brothers down there. That's my opinion.
Well, no, that's a good observation, my brother, because that's what I was saying early on. You know, everybody wants to come to America, and then politicians are playing political football with the immigration issue. That's what's causing people to want to flood to come over here. And I'm not really criticizing people that want to come here, because I understand over in Haiti, they just had the president was killed. They had an earthquake over there. Conditions are just becoming worse than what they were, normally. So it's kind of rough right now. So I understand the process. But like you said, Brother Al, the situation with 1 million immigrants coming over here within the last 8 months, so you cannot blame the people, okay?
No, you can't.
Right,
thank
right.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. Thank you. Thank you. So what I was trying to get at, normal in a normal situation in the United States, you would have to abide, like say, by the laws.
Sure.
You know, hopefully, right? But now what I'm seeing now, because of, before we take this quick call here from Dave, what I'm seeing now is that illegal immigrants, that's what they call the people. I don't think nobody's illegal. I think we all just human beings, first and foremost. But now people are granted the right to vote. So therefore, you know, it's really political. Because the big time politicians, they look at how many people in certain areas, and they believe they favor the immigrants and allow them to come over here and get them a pathway to citizenship by allowing illegal immigrants to vote. What happens then, those immigrants may favor that president that allowed them to come over here and gave them, you know, provided them with a pathway to citizenship. Something like that.
Definitely a point that I'm sure they're concerned about. We have Dave from Hoffman Estates who's also weighing in on the issue. Dave, you're on.
Hey, Gio, hey, Rafa. On that border, the original, if you recall, you remember Trump had said to those governors and stuff like that to consider those protesters and then these migrants coming up if they threw rocks at the troops to shoot them.
Yes, indeed.
That time he told them to shoot them in the legs, whatever, to shoot them. So, and then... But President Biden isn't without sin either. He, about a couple of months ago, he sent 3,000 more troops down there. So we ain't exactly pulled our troops out of the border. And as for them Haitians that came over and stuff like that, as people have pointed out before, that a lot of them were living for, what, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, down in Brazil and South America, Central America, and that, and you're going to deport them back into Haiti. Isn't this kind of similar to, like, the DACA, what they were going to do to these Hispanics born in America?
Yeah, that was a big issue. You know, DACA was a real big issue. I had to do a little bit more research on DACA, so I found out what it's all about. And because I think it's the people, the young people that I believe they were, see, put it like this, young people that were raised, I believe, here in America, some without their parents,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, I think their parents, if I recall right, their parents may have been born in Mexico or
exactly,
whatever. Like
exactly.
The children were born here.
Right, the dreamers. They call it the dreamers, right.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And isn't that the same thing what they're talking about in Haiti after some of them left because of the, you know, hurricane and that from, what, 8, 10 years ago? And,
yeah.
And,
no, it's similar, yeah, because even with Trump, with the, you know, the camps they had on the border with the kids were separated from their parents, that was kind of tough. Because, you know, Dave, when I ran for governor, I'm only human. I had one blooper, Brother Raza. When they brought up DACA, I didn't really do all my research on it initially, and I made a mistake. I was on a televised debate, right? And I said, if you were born in the United States, you need to stay here, which, you know, if you're born here, you natural, you know, you're already a citizen.
Yeah.
I kind of messed that up, Brother Dave, you know. I knew better, but, you know, that's just being just transparent.
Yeah, I mean, it's food for thought, and,
yeah,
you know, about the fact that it's like DACA in one form there now. The only thing, instead of Mexicans, is Haitians.
Yes, indeed.
You know, they don't, you know, they're trying to bring, you're kind of inverse of it. You're trying to bring them back to their country that they don't even really know, in a sense, some of them, because they, like I said, they've been away for many years, so.
Well, I don't know if this is true or not. I saw, Dave, I saw a picture, I really did, of a lady throwing a baby over the border wall. I don't know if it was a true picture. I don't know if it was a real picture or not.
Now, are you?
But yeah, I think so. I saw the picture, the lady throwing a baby over the wall. That's crazy. I don't know if it was real or not, but I did. I remember that photo.
Well, hopefully they didn't Photoshop the one from Afghanistan when they were, you know, handing up to those Marines. And,
yeah.
And, you know, by the way, there's still four of them over in... the feds that are still recovering.
Yes,
know,
indeed.
You know, they're still in bad shape. I mean, everybody talks 13. Well, there was actually, you know, working on 15 of them.
Okay, Dave.
Four are still alive. But anywho, you know, prayers out to these guys, you know. So, anyways, let me get on so we can get to the others.
Right on, Dave. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Dave. We got Lisa waiting who wants to talk about immigration as well. Let's go to her, and then we'll talk a little about Chicago gun violence that's continuing this weekend as well. Lisa, you're on.
Yeah, how you doing, Lisa?
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Lisa.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, I just want to say to you that this immigration thing that we're seeing, this movie or this drama that we're seeing in regard to immigration now has really opened up a lot of Americans' eyes into as to how the immigration process works. This guy that you spoke to prior to me has said something about DACA. DACA were the children that came, that their children just bought them, that their parents who were undocumented just bought them into the country.
Okay, got it.
And didn't check with anybody. And that's old. And so this people coming into the country and not having citizenship is old. And this sanctuary cities has just put it on steroids. Well, of course, you know our mayor and the alderman agreed to an ordinance that you can't even go and even find a person who's in the country undocumented. And then I hear that our President Biden is going to offer the Afghanis lifetime welfare.
Wow.
So,
lifetime welfare?
I heard he's offering them lifetime welfare. Some of them got to be old, which means they're going to be on Social Security or getting SSI. And Well, of course, you know, we've seen nothing yet, but something else we're finding out that this apparently is something that's been going on all the time. And because all you have to do is get here, whether you document it or not, and all you got to do is have a baby once you get here with another woman, you got that child. But once you get here, they automatically throwing your kids into the schools. This is why the Hispanics have such a high population, in the schools. And so it's just stuff that's constantly being thrown at the American person's mind. And it's troubling, but we all have to be mature and ride it out. But it's old, and it's old, and it really makes you weak for those people that were slaves, because it was happening during their time. People were telling them they had to work, be bond servants for the rest of their lives, but other immigrants were coming in then, and they were giving them land and stuff.
Right.
And so it kind of really makes you think about your ancestry and kind of weep a little bit, because some stuff has gone on that's really, really mind-breaking and heartbreaking. And remember, those ancestors were our uncles, our aunts. So say, for instance, my great-grandfather was born here. My grandmama was born here. My mother was born here. And so the people before them that were slaves, they caught it, and they caught it in a bad, bad way. And let's all pray, guys, because this thing is it's just heartbreaking.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Lisa. Very good commentary by Miss Lisa, without a doubt.
Absolutely, yeah. Giving a lot of perspective on it. And we invite your perspective as well to call in, 773-763-9278. Tia, we're also talking about some of the gun violence that was happening in the city. We were hoping, obviously, that it would lessen as the weather starts cooling, but the weather's still warm.
Right.
We were talking about some of the things that were going down. Tell me some of the things that you've heard.
Well, you know, you had a police officer that was shot over in the South Shore community. He was, like, I think, grazed or whatever the case may be, but a 15-year-old was killed, involved in the shooting as well. Then you had a young person killed on the west side around the United Center area over there, right off around Western and Washington. But most importantly, when the people were transported to the Stroger Hospital, one of the paramedics was grazed by a gunshot as well. So the levels of violence in Chicago are really outrageous. And like I said, my mother always taught me, say, if you don't have nothing good to say, don't say nothing sometimes. But I have to say this, and the views on this show are not the views of Progressive Radio 820 AM WCPT. I want to make that clear as I began to embark upon this discussion here.
Sure.
Lori Lightfoot, I think she's out of the woods when it comes down to any type of real proven solutions to reducing gun violence in Chicago, from the police, her police department, all the way to a lot of the programming that she's trying to implement here in the city of Chicago. Everybody's looking to play fudge the numbers at the end of every month. You know, the police, the first of the month, they give a big press conference on, and they try to see if you had two shootings less than last month and one homicide less than last month, so they'll say, you know, we've had a reduction.
Sure.
I mean, what about the people that have lost their family members and lost their loved ones? Nobody's thinking about the victims out there. So it's a sad day, I have to report also that, you know, you've had several teams of young guys going down on Michigan Avenue again on the Gold Coast, snatching high-end products out of stores, purses and beauty supplies, you name it. Carjackings are still on the rise. A lot of money has been spent to try to decrease the number of carjackings, but it's not working right now. So there's a more serious spirit, you know, that has descended upon the city. And I think it's due to real poor leadership from Lloyd Lightfoot, unless somebody can show me otherwise. Because I live on the south side of Chicago. I see the carnage. I see the lack of economic development. You know, I'm for all people. You know, Chicago's not just a black Chicago. It's a Chicago for all people. But in the black community, we have some serious problems. Over 85% of the killings do occur in the black community. That's just the way it goes. And the levels of anger are so severe that everybody's like on a cold red in some of these communities. I just had a session with some young people that live in the North Lawndale community. And I kid you not, I had a session with a young guy. You know, I cannot say his name, of course, but he's 13 years old and he's dealing with a gun case and a murder case at 13 years old. So the beat goes on and on. We have a lot of work to do out here, man. A lot of work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We got another call coming in. We got Matt from Bartlett. Matt, you're on.
Yeah. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I was just listening to the previous callers, and I really have sympathy for immigrations from everywhere. I'm myself an immigrant here.
Yes.
And I tell you that right now the government, the way it is behaving for the last 12 years, you've seen that there's certain categories, just the doors are open, they can come in. Not only we are bringing them in, we're giving them fast-track immigration, they're becoming citizens. We're taking care of financially, like the lady before me said, and then we have discrimination against other immigrants who wants to come here. You know, and yes, it is heartbreaking to hear what she said. The slaves brought in here that you have to buy your freedom, while the other one can come and grab the land, or we'll give them the land. This is still going on. I mean,
right.
That is really, really heartbreaking. This is not. And looking over just the previous caller said, look at our security, our cities are crumbling under increase of, I mean, we live in Chicagoland area. I mean, it's mind-boggling the number of people who are get shot or killed, and then minority community is put as a criminal community. That's how it's been introduced to the world. And it's not given opportunity to correct itself while we're bringing in 125,000 people and giving them full lifetime benefits. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I don't know what's wrong with the policymakers. Both sides of the aisle, they're just offending the normal, hardworking human being here. That's what I say. You know, especially what she said, and it's 100% correct. People need to understand the slavery. You know, you are bringing here slaves. You spend your life to earn your way out, or you get your freedom while the others are coming in, they're given the land. Same thing is happening again today. Like I said, like last 2 months, you have 125,000 people brought in. All of a sudden, and who caused that problem? This immigration government caused that problem 6,000 miles away, and then they bring in all these people. No immigration rules apply. All of a sudden, they're all legit. They're all going to receive
that's my point.
Benefits. This is really, really heartbreaking to see. But we're not taking care of our own here.
Now, that's my point, Brother Matt. That's why I was making that statement early on in the show here, that the politicians have become very lax on immigration reform, immigration laws. Put it like that, because the laws dictate if you come into the country illegally, you cannot enter the country. If they find you, they will send you back. But I'm not here to really argue about the point anymore, because it's happening too much. So what can we do moving forward? And I think the politicians, Matt, also, like you just said, they're just making it easy for themselves because they're looking at the votes. Because I've never heard of it any time before where you can come over here legally and you can become a registered voter, too. That's part of the pathway to citizenship package. Even before you become the citizen, you can almost register to vote.
I think all communities need to demand term limits. Term limits, that's the answer. These career politicians got to go.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you, Brother Matt. The career politicians have to go because they're just doing everything that, you know, within the good old boy system. Nobody's just speaking out because they're scared if they speak out, they're going to lose their seat.
And I'm not talking Democrat or Republican. They're both the same right now. They're agreeing with each other. They gave themselves 7% raise last month.
Yeah.
Nobody talked about it. They just gave themselves a raise while we're suffering.
I totally agree.
From my store.
I totally agree with you. Totally.
I do my night shift.
Yes, indeed. I agree with you, Brother Matt. So this is a good call coming from a different perspective there.
Absolutely. So we got to hit a commercial break before we want you to join in. You can call in at 773-763-9278, but you're absolutely right, Tio. Just different perspective, giving us an idea of. And what we'll talk about is maybe some of the institutional biases with this immigration, right?
Okay.
I think it's been brought upon a couple of times where people have talked about different groups being treated differently, different economic advantages for certain, and just opportunities in general. We'll talk about that right after this commercial break.
Gotcha. Okay.
Megan Financial is an independent retirement and financial services firm dedicated to the working men and women of organized labor. Megan provides straightforward, custom-fit financial advice and specializes in defined benefit and defined contribution pension plans, as well as participant and retiree health and welfare benefits. Megan Financial has the knowledge and experience to navigate the union member through all phases of life. Call 708-444-1090.
Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. A broker-dealer and registered investment advisor. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity. Office location at 5321 South 94th Avenue, Orland Park, Illinois, 60462.
Ever wonder about the story behind the story? Who are the people you watch delivering the news, filming the scenes, and putting pen to paper to tell the story you read in your morning paper? Tune in to Media Essential Workers on Facebook and YouTube to find out. With constant changes in the Chicago media landscape, one reliable source keeps track of the people bringing you the stories. Media Essential Workers, the premier live stream telling the story of the storytellers. Sunday nights at 7. Like, subscribe, and follow Media Essential Workers to find out about special shows during the week. Hosted by Raza Siddiqui, Media Essential Workers gets the story of the storytellers.
Listening to Against the Grain with T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman and Raza Siddiqui. We've been talking about a lot of issues, including immigration. We got about 10 minutes left, so we want to make sure to get all these callers that are lighting up the lines in. We got William from Lombard. William, you're on with T.O. Hardiman and Raza Siddiqui.
Okay, hi. Please forgive me. I get nervous. But the history of this country, this country was built on cheap labor.
Okay.
They used to build ships. And we're not the first to encounter discrimination, the Irish, the Italians. It's cheap labor. And it's not always the politician, because the structure, our structure, is based on divide and conquer and cheap labor. And that, we had unions in the 80s. They destroyed all of the people's, what do you call them? Not continuity, cohesiveness.
Cohesiveness, okay.
In the 60s. And then again in the 80s. And, you know, the war on drugs, and then they continued, and they destroyed. But we have to raise up and say, to hell with this. It's not the Mexican is taking your job. Them, the robber barons aren't paying you. Thank you very much.
Appreciate your call. So, Raza, you know, you and I, we were talking about all the job vacancies here in the United States. You know, there are thousands of vacant jobs right now. Even in Chicago, I was talking to some people at Chicago Public Schools where they have 300 vacancies right now, and, you know, doing some kitchen work, like, you know, preparing food, you know, servers and porters and all that kind of stuff. That's just 300 jobs at Chicago Public Schools right now that are vacant, all right? Then you have jobs all across the board, the railroad, service, everybody. They're looking to hire people. So the people in America do not want to work, and you have immigrants, you have other people that come from different countries that are willing to go to work as soon as they get here, okay? So, you know, we have to be open-minded, because if we're not taking the jobs, maybe some people in America feel the jobs are less than what they want to do, but you have people that are ready to work them jobs. So that's a tough argument as well, really tough.
Absolutely. Tio, what do you say as to what might be the driving force with the shortage? Like, even with kind of bus drivers, they're saying, my kid had a field trip to go to
there's no bus, and there's no driver to drive the bus. They had to cancel it. But how did this all of a sudden change? How do we go into this situation where there is this demand and just nobody there to do it? But you're absolutely right. There are people willing to do it, right? There are people who are looking for those opportunities, who are looking to try to better their lives, but we're just not able to meet it with our current labor pool.
Well, I think the pandemic had a lot to do with it. And a lot of people, they received PPE loans or whatever the case may be. Unemployment was extended. People were able to secure more money on unemployment just as if they were working a job. So and then a lot of what I'm hearing, actually, and then some of the stats are correct as well, because even in the state of Illinois, I think about 1 million people filed for unemployment, right? So that's a whole lot of people filing for unemployment right now. So people just don't want to go back to work because they feel they can make the same amount of money, if not a little bit more, by being unemployed. As crazy as it sounds. So people are playing the system, and now they really don't want to go back to work. There are so many. I look on the internet, I see so many jobs. I wish I can work 10 jobs. I'm not young as I used to be, you know. Can't work 10 jobs. But if you have people coming to the country willing to take on them jobs, I'm all for it. Personally, you know, if you're willing to work, I mean, we need to fill them vacancies out here. Bottom line, we need to fill them so we can get America back running in a strong way again, Raza.
Well, you know, right before coming to the radio show here, I stopped at a local pub here in the Northwest area, Teasers Public House. And I was talking to one of the bartenders who said it's a family-owned business. Yeah. And the bartenders and the people who work there have just not left. I mean, sometimes a short turnaround with the restaurants, but they said when you're treated well, when you have employers who take care of you.
Yeah.
He said at 10 years, he was like the guy with the least seniority. And I think maybe that speaks to kind of like the industries and how they're treating maybe people as well. Because the ones that are obviously treating and taking care of their people and treating them with some sort of respect are able to maintain their workforce. And it really gets you thinking, is this a time to reset and rethink how we, as small businesses, and small businesses, you know, all credit to them to have been able to last through a pandemic and be able to keep their livelihoods going. But do they need to rethink how perhaps the people that they employ who are part of the community, how they're treated?
It's very important because as a business owner, you know, treating your employees with the utmost respect. And then also I noticed at Walmart, they give out a lot of benefits there. I did some research on Walmart myself in regards to how they treat their employees. Employees receive raises. And you have a lot of corporations and CEOs that are looking out for employees now. Some of them are making employees first, some of these corporations, right? So that's the best thing to do because you want people to feel not just work for your organization, you want them to feel a part of the organization. Right. And therefore, you have to treat people the way you want to be treated. So I see that there's a show that comes on, it's Undercover Boss.
Yeah,
I love that show.
Is it still on? Yeah, I don't know if they have new seasons.
This show,
love that show
reruns a lot. Yeah, Undercover Boss.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the bosses who went undercover, they get a chance to really get to know their employees. And a lot of times they actually provide employees with some different incentives once they find out how faithful and committed the employees are. Because some of the people work and they do some real hard work. See, I never want to take for granted. I would never want to take for granted when you drive up to a McDonald's drive through the people that work there and take your order. A lot of people not making a lot of money, but you know, the bottom line is that there are people working a job to provide a service for you, which I think that's really great. Even on that level, even the janitors out there cleaning up restaurants, cleaning up hospitals. We cannot take people for granted. The people that drive the buses, airplane stewardess and airline pilots. Every time I fly somewhere, I'm really grateful when the plane lands safely. Right. So I cross my heart and I actually give the pilot, you know, I thank the pilot. As long as they come out the cockpit, I thank the pilot. So I don't take any of these benefits we have in the United States for granted, because I know some people in some countries are out throughout the world, they're struggling big time. So
well, you look at some of the workers just on the south side, Milagro workers, who you probably heard on the news, have recently been, they walked off because, again, they were put in a situation that, where they were working faithfully all throughout the pandemic in situations that they have deemed, and Arise Chicago, one of the organizations community-based that they're working with, have deemed have not been safe. There have been a lot of workers who have become sick, some who have unfortunately passed away, but this was an opportunity for them to show the broader public, hey, we were out here working. Like you said, we're out here serving. These are some of our issues. And like you said, it's vitally important. you mentioned undercover boss, but even speaking to the community as a whole that, hey, these are issues that we need to address as a collective.
Yeah. Well, that's what's important. As human beings, we all have to work together and try to uplift our people here in the United States and all over across the world, because a lot of us have world ties also. So that's what's important about this particular show that we host together here, Against the Grain, because we're going against the grain a little bit. And our callers go, when they call in, they go against the grain.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, you let this guy talk like this, this guy talks like that. But the reality, we have a balance of callers.
They go against the grain with us or against us. But it collectively puts together the discussion that we have, right, which allows us to challenge our thinking. Get out of our way of thinking and learn something new, right?
Learn something new. And then the moral of the story, the discussion for today, how the Haitian immigrants were being treated over there on the border. And I think there was a consensus that it wasn't right. You know, just the way that the vision, you know, the optics of it, it just wasn't right. So we have to begin to respect all of humanity, because what you put out in the universe will definitely come back your way. That's just the laws of karma.
Yeah.
Now, Joe Biden did say that he's going to hold the people accountable for whatever happened there that day. All right. Because, you know, you had a lot of my things, the kids. When you have kids being terrified like that, coming up out the water. I mean, what river is that in Texas?
Del Rio, I believe it
is. Del Rio.
Rio de Grande.
Whatever it is. Yeah. We work it out. But that just remind me of cowboy days and all that crazy stuff.
You know what's interesting about that, though? Like you said, the president did say he'd hold them accountable, but I had heard that the governor of Texas says, well, if they're held accountable, they have a job and a placement with our state as well. Mm-hmm. So there's always kind of that dichotomy in how we're going to go about this.
Well, that's what makes the states have the power they have, and the federal government has the power they have. Because even going back to the civil rights movement, went back when they were trying to integrate the school systems, the federal government had to call in troops to walk African-American people to the schools in Little Rock, Arkansas, and stuff like that. So that's what the feds, they trump a lot of things. Not saying Donald Trump, but the feds, they trump state laws a lot of times, supersede some of the state laws. So that's what happens. And right is right, wrong is wrong. I think the guys on the horse should just apologize to the Haitian people and just apologize.
Hold their own press conference and make a declaration.
And stand there with the Haitian people. Say, look, that's on us. My bad. We apologize.
And with that, something to think about as we proceed and close out for this week. We got another Sunday show coming up next week. In the meantime, you can join us on our relevant Facebook Lives, also on Against the Grain with Teo Hardeman and Raza Siddiqui. Teo, anything to close out in the last 10 seconds?
I think we're good. I'm just grateful to be here. I thank God for having me out here with you today.
And we thank our callers this week and every week. Talk to you soon.
And we're going to pray for the Bears.